Friday of the seventh week of Ordinary Time. The first reading is from Sirach, chapter 6, verses 5 to 17. A kind mouth multiplies friends and appeases enemies. Ungracious lips prompt friendly greetings. Let your acquaintances be many, but one in a thousand your confidant. When you gain a friend, first test him, and be not too ready to trust him. For one sword is a friend when it suits him, but he will not be with you in time of distress. Another is a friend who becomes an enemy and tells of the quarrel to your shame. Another is a friend, a boon companion, who will not be with you when sorrows come. When things go well, he is your other self and lords it over your servants. But if you are brought low, he turns against you and avoids meeting you. Keep away from your enemies. Be on your guard with your friends. A faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. He who finds one finds a treasure. A faithful friend is beyond price. No sum can balance his worth. A faithful friend is a life-saving remedy, such as he who fears God finds. For he who fears God behaves accordingly, and his friends will be like him. This is the word of the Lord. Dear family, this reflections from the Old Testament have a lot of wisdom, but they're still incomplete. You will see how Jesus brings everything to a deeper light, to a greater awareness. Here we're told to be careful with our friends. You know, you can't trust them from the beginning. And that doesn't mean you don't love from the beginning, but love is also prudent. And you need to know when is the time that you can trust certain things to some person. And that will be according to what God shows you in the process. So let us go now to the Gospel, which is Mark chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Jesus came into the district of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds gathered around him, and as was his custom, he again taught them. The Pharisees approached him and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus and his disciples are now in Judea. That is where Jerusalem is. And Jesus will not return to Galilee until after the resurrection. But in Judea, the Pharisees are also after him, and they're trying to ensnare him. So they ask a question: is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife? In Jewish society at the time, divorce was widely accepted. On top of that, the law of Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 24 that a husband could dismiss his wife by writing a bill of divorce. Now, the purpose of the bill of divorce was not to authorize divorce, but merely to limit its consequences on women. Because a woman who was just rejected by her husband and abandoned will not fare well. But at least if she had a bill of divorce, she could possibly remarry. Now, interesting, there was not a bill of divorce that the woman could use against the husband. It was only one-sided. And Jesus responds that this law of the bill of divorce existed because of the hardness of their hearts. That is, Moses had made a provision for a divorced wife on account of the hardness that led men to divorce their wives. And this is the hardness of heart, which means refusal to yield to God and his ways. That's hardness of heart. Because, Jesus says, in the beginning it was not like that. And he quotes two passages from Genesis. The first one is Genesis 1:27. God made them male and female. The second, Genesis 2:24. A man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That means a whole human being, the flesh, is a personal union at the deepest level of being. So, Jesus is saying what God wanted from the beginning was this union that is unbreakable. And because of the hardness of heart, Moses permitted the bill of divorce, which is better than just divorcing a woman and just abandoning her and not having any possibility for her to be sustained or protected anymore. So what does it mean to become one flesh? It means communion of persons. And this reminds us that God is a communion of persons, an eternal exchange of love, and that he has destined us to share in that exchange. That's from the Catechism, number 221. This is the sacredness of marriage. It's making us one with God through this journey, through this state in life. The gift that we receive in baptism receives a particular grace of communion with God through the love of the husband and the wife. So the one flesh union of men and women in marriage is a sign pointing to God's own mystery, our call to communion with him. And this is the original intention of God. So the concession in Deuteronomy no longer applies because humanity is no longer captive to sin and the hardness of heart and the resultant family breakdown if they are living in the kingdom. And so the Lord Jesus is saying, as you receive the grace to live in the kingdom, you receive the grace to live this communion and renounce to the spirit of divorce. So Jesus concludes with his own solemn injunction. What God has joined together, no human being must separate. And this is astonishing for everyone who hears, because the Lord Jesus is really causing a revolution. He's saying that no human being is authorized to dissolve the bond that God has united. Now he's giving them a new power to live according to God's original plan. So the conclusion that he reaches later with the apostles is, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. So Jesus is affirming two things here: the indissolubility of marriage, and second, he's recognizing that adultery is an offense that can be committed against a wife, because the belief up to now was that only women could be adulterous. The men could do whatever he wanted. So Jesus brings total equality between man and women, a mutual belonging of husband and wife in marriage, and therefore equal responsibility for upholding the permanence of the marriage bond. Now, this call of Jesus to make the matrimony sacred and faithful forever is a challenge to take the cross, but it's also an experience of the kingdom being realized when we persevere in taking this cross. It opens up to the great blessing of unity, of communion, of partaking with the life of God and one another. The husband and the wife who live this enrich each other and fulfill one another in the unity of Christ. And so our longing for relationship of lasting and authentic love is realized. God bless you.